Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. What is prophesied for Iran? Does the Bible have anything to say about this country? Can we know what the future holds for Iran, for other countries in the Middle East, in the world? Today's headlines are filled with uncertain news, news which do not really tell us what is going to happen, but they are frightening news. Here's an article from Newsmax, which was published on May 31, saying this: the International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, believes that Iran's nuclear program has dangerous military dimensions, according to a piece published late Monday in the New York Times. The Times report details Iran's apparent efforts to build a nuclear bomb using implosion techniques, the same basic technology used in the bomb dropped on Hiroshima. Essentially, Iran is able to build a bomb now, according to senior staff members of the IAEA quoted by the Times. And Israel has said when that happened, they are going to attack Iran. And the Bible tells us that such an attack will take place and a war will take place. But Israel will not win. You see, we have a long piece in our current update. And if you are not aware of our weekly updates, here's just a copy of a recent update. And we are sending this out every week to everybody who requests a free copy. We're sending it out via email. And in this particular update, we have a Q&A on the future of Iran. And much of what I'm saying today, and a lot more, is published in this update. But the Bible does tell us that Iran will be participating in a war against Israel. Most commentaries are in agreement that Iran, or Persia, as of course it was formerly known, is actually a descendant from Elam. Now, Elam was a son of Shem, who was in turn a son of Noah. And we read that in the book of Genesis, that Elam was a brother of Assur, none other than Germany today, the Assyrians, and also of Aram, which is none other than Syria today. So you see the relationship. And later on, we hear about the Elamite country, which was none other than the Persian country. Their capital was Susa. And we read about Jeremiah, we read about Daniel, we read about Queen Esther. They all resided in Susa. And today, that city is still known to be living or existing, I should say, in Iran, with the name of Sush. And so the relationship originally at the time of Esther and so on between the Jews and Iran was pretty good. If you read the Bible, you know that Esther, of course, was married to the Persian king Xerxes. But then later the relationship drastically changed, and today Iran is probably one of the most outspoken enemies of Israel, the state of Israel. But there are other interesting situations developing in Iran today. Here's an article by the Washington Post dated May 27 saying that U.S. officials say Iran is dispatching increasing numbers of trainers and advisors into Syria to help crush anti-government demonstrations that are threatening to topple Iran's most important ally in the region. Notice Syria and Iran related, as I pointed out. It goes on to say the influx of Iranian manpower is adding to a steady stream of aid from Tehran that includes not only weapons and riot gear, but also sophisticated surveillance equipment that is helping Syrian authorities track down opponents through their Facebook and Twitter accounts. Iranian-assisted computer surveillance is believed to have led to the arrests of hundreds of Syrians seized from their homes in recent weeks. And then we have heard, I'm sure, about the episode when Angela Merkel and her airplane was not allowed to fly over Iranian airspace to reach India. And after only lengthy negotiations, she was allowed to go there. And of course, the Germans are extremely upset about what they call a push of the Iranians towards them. And then we find that Europe still has a kind of two-faced relationship with Iran. Here's an article by Der Spiegel online, dated May 31, saying, though, that relations between Berlin and Tehran have deteriorated in recent years due to German opposition to Iran's nuclear program. But at the same time, it says that Germany is still the third largest exporter to the country. Last year, German exports to the Islamic Republic were worth 3.8 billion euros or $5.5 billion. And again, notice the relationship, as I pointed out at the beginning of this program. There's also a power struggle going on in Iran right now. The British paper The Guardian pointed out on May 5 that close allies of Iran's president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, have been accused of using supernatural powers to further his policies amid an increasingly bitter power struggle between him and the country's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Several people said to be close to the president and his chief of staff have been arrested in recent days and charged with being magicians and invoking spirits. Demon spirits, of course. And what is interesting to me is the fact that this is just another confirmation of something the Bible has been saying all along, that this is not God's world, that God is not ruling this world, that at this point this world is still being ruled by Satan the devil and by his demons. You see, when Christ was tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, the devil came and he offered him all the kingdoms, and he says, "These are my kingdoms. I have rule over them. I give them to you if you only would bow down and worship me." And Christ didn't tell Satan, "Oh no, you can't do that because it's not yours to give." He knew it was Satan's to give. Satan is the ruler of this world. He is called in the Bible the God of this world. We are told that he deceives the whole world. He and his demonic forces are still in power over all the nations of this earth. And so there is no wonder then that we read in the book of Daniel that when the Archangel Michael and the angel Gabriel were trying to give reports and information to Daniel, especially Gabriel did, that they were stopped by a prince that called that person or this personage is called the Prince of Persia, a demon. And for over 21 days, these mighty good angels, holy angels, had to fight this demon. And he was a demon over Persia at the time. And things haven't changed. Today, the rulers of this world are still those demonic forces. But you see, Jesus Christ is going to return. And he is going to change all of that. And he's going to restore the kingdom of God here on this earth. And we are told that we have to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God to this world. And then the end of this present evil society will come. Now, in this context, let me read to you a scripture from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49, beginning in verse 35, which has this to say: "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam," Iran, "the foremost of their might. Against Elam I will bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and scatter them towards all those winds. There shall be no nations where the outcasts of Elam will not go. For I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies and before those who seek their life. I will bring disaster upon them, my fierce anger." And every time you read a statement like that, "my fierce anger," you are reminded of the day of the wrath of God, as it's described in the book of Revelation, an end time prophecy, when God is going to pour out his wrath over the nations of this world because of their disobedience and rebellion towards him. It goes on to say, "I will send the sword until I have consumed them, and I will set my throne in Elam, and I will destroy there the king and the princes," says the Lord. See, this hasn't happened yet. God hasn't put his throne in Elam yet. He isn't ruling over Elam yet, but he will in the future. He will in the future when he establishes a kingdom of God here on this earth. It goes on to say, "But it shall come to pass in the latter days." Now, this is a clear indication as to what this prophecy is referring to. "In the latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam," says the Lord, clearly showing that Elam will ultimately end up in slavery, in captivity. A mighty power will enslave them. That is prophesied for Elam and a lot more. And please read our Q&A on the future of Iran. But you see, things will still change. Because once God sets up his kingdom on this earth, once people will begin to see that whatever they try to do never brought about lasting peace. They have been trying everything you can think of. They have been trying war. They have been trying negotiations. They have been trying contracts. They have been trying sanctions. And what does the Apostle Paul say in the book of Romans? The way to peace they just do not know. And that's why we don't have peace today. Because people are not obedient to God and his way of life. But things will change. Notice what it's prophesied in the book of Isaiah in the second chapter. In end time prophecy, after Christ has come back, after Christ has restored the kingdom of God, his rule here on this earth. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, 9, verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, above all the nations, smaller nations, bigger nations. And all nations shall flow to it. That includes the Iranians. That includes Russians, Americans, British people, Germans, Chinese, whoever. They all will flow to God to learn from him how to live. And God will rule from Jerusalem. It goes on to say, many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Then they will not have any desires anymore to fight in war, because they will have learned that war will never bring peace. And if there is any lesson this nation, this world needs to learn, is that war cannot and will not establish peace. My friends, this is so critically important. Everybody tries to establish peace by the means of war. And that's why we have ongoing wars. Christ will come back to put an end to war. And mankind will then learn God's way of life, and they will not want to learn war anymore, and they will take their weapons, and they will make good and useful tools of agriculture and other good tools out of them. And the Iranians will be part of that. Their hatred towards Judah, their hatred towards Israel will cease. And there will be friendship, and there will be harmony, and there will be peace. What a glorious time that will be. And that is something we are supposed to announce today to the world, that this time is going to come. But first there will be devastation. First there will be war, until mankind has learned their bitter lessons. I hope you are learning it today, so you don't have to go through this terrible time to come. Thanks very much for watching. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.